How many of y'all were here last week? Oh, good, a lot of you. How many of you needed to hear from God last week and you felt like God spoke to you in the very circumstances or situations in the middle of your life? Good. If you weren't here last week, we kicked off a short 3-week series titled, You Are Here. You Are Here. In the series, we're looking at God's will, His purpose, His plan for our individual lives. And my goal for this series is to answer that nagging question that I know all of you have, is that in the back of your mind, you're saying to yourself, God, now that I am here, where do I go from here, God? What's next in my life? How do I get to or get through what you want me to go to? Or how do I grow to be the person that you want me to be? Now that I'm here, God, where do I go from here? I kicked off the series last week by looking at a famous passage of Old Testament scripture. Whether you've gone to church for your entire life or maybe this is your first day in church, I'm sure you've heard of this story in scripture, and it's in which God speaks to a man named Moses through a burning bush. And from his experience, we learn that God, thousands of years later, is still speaking to you. He wants to speak to you. He's coming to you, and he speaks to you through his word, through circumstances and situations in your life, and he speaks to you through people in ordinary moments. And the most important skill we learn for Christians to develop is the ability to hear from God, to know his voice when he is speaking to you. And the most important and most significant action you can take as a Christian in order to pursue God's will for your life, his purpose or his plan for your life, is the ability or the intentionality in responding to that voice, to his voice, when he speaks to you. Because it's only God's voice. It's God's voice alone that reveals your true divine potential. This week, I want to speak to those of you this sermon is very, very personal to me and my family. And I want to speak to those people who maybe are in the same situation that we're in, is that you've heard God's voice. You were seeking God, you were praying to God, and you were asking him to reveal something to you, and he spoke to you through his word, through people, or through the pastor, and you heard his voice, and you responded by obeying his leading. Yet, what you see in your life doesn't match what you heard through his voice. Maybe what you expected God was going to do in your life doesn't match up with what you're experiencing in your life. How many of you can relate to that? God spoke to you, you obeyed, and you did what you needed to do, and it felt like everything fell out of the bottom of your life. I want to speak to those of you who expected God to show up, and he didn't. You heard God's voice, and you took the leap of faith, and when you did, the bottom fell out of your marriage. Or maybe you heard God speak to you, and you've been pouring all that you know into your children about the Lord. You've been doing what the scripture tells you to do to raise your children up in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. And now your children are teenagers, and they're disrespectful, and they're distant, and they're cold. Or maybe your children are grown now, and they're out of the house, and they're so far from God that you don't know what to do. And you're like, God, where were you? I did what I was supposed to do. I heard your voice clearly. I obeyed. And it doesn't look like you're being faithful to me. What do you do in those situations? Maybe you're here today and you're not married yet. Or maybe you were once married and you knew. You just knew that God was going to provide for you that husband who is going to protect you and care for you and build you up when you felt down and he was going to build a beautiful home and family. And maybe you're not married yet. And you're like, God, where are you? Or maybe your marriage didn't work out so well and now you're divorced and you're like, God, where in the world were you? Where are you, God? I want to speak to those of you who have decided to respond to God's voice. But what you see in your life doesn't match what you've heard in his voice. For those of you who've experienced the crushing weight of disappointment when God doesn't seem to pull through, when it seems like God isn't showing up when you need him to, when he promised that he would. You know, if I could be real with you for a minute, there are sections of scriptures, there are sections of the Bible that inspire me. Just, you know, I read them and I'm reminded of how much God loves me and he cares for me and he's got a plan for me and a purpose for me, and I just get so excited about the future, or I get so excited about what's going on in my family, or I get so excited about what's going on in the church and all around the world, I get excited. But then there are sections of scriptures that challenge and provoke me. That just, when I read them, I just, you know, God speaks to the deepest part of my soul and I realize that I'm not all that in a bag of chips, that I'm not who I thought I was. I'm not who God wants me to be. And there's those sections of scripture that challenge me. And quite frankly, there are sections of scripture that I wish really weren't there. Right? Those bits of scripture that reveal how sinful that I am, and that there's necessary things that I need to do to be more like Christ. And I know that many of you feel the same way on certain issues that we're not allowed to talk about in church. We don't preach about in church, like drinking or smoking or abortion. There are things in Scripture that we just really don't want to hear. But then there are sections of Scripture that just downright disturb me. Like, the times in Scripture when God doesn't show up, when God's people needed him and he just didn't do anything. Did you know that the period of time before the Old Testament, by the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, God didn't speak for 400 years. 400 years, God said nothing to his people. He was distant. He was nowhere to be found for 400 years. And then he shows up on the scene and he speaks to a young girl named Mary. In many people's opinions, he had no business speaking to a young girl named Mary because she was kind of a nobody in a nobody town in a nowhere place. And God chooses her to speak to her, an ordinary person. In this section of scripture today that we're going to look through, I just find disturbing. And it's found in John chapter 11. And before I really hop in there, you guys, while you guys are turning, I want to pray that God would reveal himself to us today, that God would show up today, this morning. Because his word says that when two or more are gathered in his name, he will be here. Father God, I just pray and I praise you for your word, for the power that it holds. As Paul said, it is the power of salvation. And God, I know that all of us here today are at some point in the life, in our lives, pursuing, planning for, preparing, or participating in your will, God. And we need to hear from you. God, we need to know, now that we are here this morning, what do you want us to do next? What do you want us to learn? What do you want us to, who do you want us to be, God? And I pray that through this section of scripture, God, you would reveal yourself to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. So John chapter 11, we're actually going to pretty much work almost the entire way through this chapter of scripture, but taken in bits and pieces. Starting in verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and the disciples said, and he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. The thing that disturbs me about this section of Scripture is that our three main characters, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, loved Jesus so much. They believed in his power so much that when Lazarus became deathly ill, like he is on his deathbed, they sent word to Jesus and said, Jesus, save our brother. Come heal our brother. He is sick. They were so confident in Jesus' love for them and for Lazarus, they don't even mention Lazarus by name when they go to Jesus. They say, the one who you love is sick. They are so confident that Jesus is going to show up that they don't even have to mention his name. And Jesus does nothing. He does nothing. He doesn't show up. The scripture says he stayed where he was for 2 more days. He decided to hang out. They run to Jesus and say, Jesus, we need you to heal Lazarus. And he says, I'm going to stick around for 2 more days. But he does make a promise. He says, this sickness will not end in death. They were expecting Jesus to show up, and he didn't. They needed him to show up, and he didn't. They asked him to show up, and he didn't. How many times have you prayed for God to show up and reveal himself to you or heal somebody or restore a broken relationship? And he didn't. See, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were devoted, faithful Christians. These weren't just, you know, random people coming in and out of Jesus' life. These were devoted people. In fact, when Jesus went through their town, he would always stay with them at their house. They were his constituents, his donor base. And he didn't even show up for them. They had a vested interest in Jesus' ministry and his success. And they were so confident in Jesus' love for them, that they didn't even have to mention names because Jesus knew exactly who they were talking about. So what do you do? What do you do when you faithfully follow Jesus and Jesus doesn't seem to come through for you? In your marriage? In your finances? In your relationship? Where do you go from there? How do you respond to that? And I think that the reason this series is the way that I see this series playing out, there's really three phases of God's will and figuring it out in your life. Last week we talked to people who are kind of probably at the beginning stages of that. You haven't heard from God. You haven't heard God speak to you or reveal himself to you or let you know where to go. And so those people are in the beginning trying to hear from God and trying to learn how to understand how God reveals himself and his will to you. And then there's people this week who have heard from God, heard the promises of God, and kind of stepped out, but then the circumstances don't say the same. And next week I'm going to talk to people who maybe have heard God's voice, who have faithfully responded and fulfilled that will or purpose in their life and kind of are just sitting back now and enjoying the ride. I wanted to point something out very interesting in this section of Scripture this morning that makes it even more disturbing. If you go back to verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. He loves you. But then the very next verse, it says, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. This is actually the closest literal translation of this version of the Bible. Some versions of the Bible say yet, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, yet when he heard when he was sick, he stayed two more days, as if there was an illogical explanation. There was a good excuse why Jesus didn't show up. Maybe one excuse is that he's too busy. You know, he's out there preaching. He's out there healing. People are getting, blind people are seeing, and lame people are walking. And so Jesus just doesn't have time to get there. The other possible option is that there is actually a death warrant out for Jesus in this town. So if Jesus shows up, he's probably going to get hung on a cross. But the problem is I see that there's two problems with both of those scenarios. The fact that Jesus was too busy. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, there was a centurion who came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, my servant is sick." And Jesus said, "Well, I'll come heal him." And the centurion responded and said, "You don't need to show up. All you have to do is say the word and he will be healed." And so Jesus says the word and the servant is healed. Jesus doesn't have to come and show up on the scene to heal Lazarus because he can just say the word, but he doesn't. So that's not an excuse, Jesus, for not showing up. The other excuse is that maybe there was this death threat against him, but the problem with that is, Jesus can raise himself from the dead. He does that a little bit later in the book of John. So Jesus really has no excuse for not showing up in this situation. And so we continue the story. Jesus makes a promise to the disciples and to Mary and Lazarus. He says, "This sickness will not end in death." Boom. How many of you have prayed that God would speak to you? Last week you started hearing God's voice again, and you started feeling like God was speaking to you and revealing his will to you, and you receive a promise from him that you name it. And he says, "This sickness will not end in death." And guess what happens? Lazarus dies. He dies. Jesus says, "Lazarus isn't going to die," and he dies. What's up with that, Jesus? Thought your words bring life. Lazarus is dead. How many of you have prayed to God and received a word from him, and that word comes through and it's snuffed out right before the very eyes, and you're left wondering, "God, where in the world were you?" And so Jesus says, "Let's go back to where Lazarus is." So we pick up in verse 11. I'm on the right chapter. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him." So they're about to make their way to where Lazarus is, and the disciples conveniently remind him, "You know what? You really can't go there, Jesus, because they're gonna stone you. They're going to kill you." And his disciples are freaking out. They're like, "No, Jesus, you cannot go there at all." And so he's reminding him of something. He says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him." And his disciples replied, "Lord, if he is asleep, he will get better." Disciples kind of missed the point. Kind of asleep at the wheel. These guys have been walking with Jesus. You know, Jesus likes to speak in metaphors and parables and stories. And what Jesus meant when Lazarus was asleep, he meant that he was dead. And the disciples, well, they just missed it. They didn't get it. "Well, if he's asleep, he'll just get better." You see, the disciples saw it from one perspective. Lazarus was just sleeping. And Jesus saw it from a different perspective, that Lazarus is dead. And sometimes when we're talking about the will of God in your life and the purposes in your life and the circumstances and situations in your life, you see it from one perspective. But God sees it from a different perspective. When I was a kid, my mom, she used to cross-stitch a lot, all the time. In fact, I think we've got several stockings that she cross-stitched, and we got pictures all over the place that she cross-stitched. And I remember as a kid, one time, she was on the couch behind me cross-stitching, and I was on the floor watching, I don't know, maybe like Thundercats or, you know, He-Man, Adventures of the Universe, whatever. And I turn around, and I'm looking at what she's doing, and I got to be honest with you, it was ugly. Don't worry, this is going to make, she's like, "Oh, let's hurt her feelings." But you're going to be like, "Mommy, what you doing?" And so I'd turn around and I'd crawl up on the couch next to her and I'd snuggle up next to her. And then when I got side this side of the cross stitch, it was beautiful. Right on the back side of a cross stitching pattern, it's all snarled, frayed strings. And it doesn't make any sense. The picture is fuzzy and unclear. But then when I crawled up and changed my perspective and got next to my mother, I could see the picture that she saw. And it was beautiful. Sometimes the circumstances in your life, the way you see it and the way God sees it, are different. And the disciples had missed the point. And so Jesus kind of has a little bit of patience. And he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. All right? You get it now? He's dead. He's just plain dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So now Jesus is saying he's glad he wasn't there. He's glad that he wasn't there. And he says, it's for your sake I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. So that you may believe. And so he comes to Bethany and he goes forth to Bethany to meet Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So he makes his way to Bethany. And aren't you glad that God comes to you today? Even after you feel like he's let you down or you haven't heard from him or he promised you something and that promise hasn't pulled through, God comes to you today the same way that he's coming to Mary and to Martha and Lazarus. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever kind of hell you've been through or whatever kind of hell you're going through, Jesus is coming to you today to speak to you because he loves you. He cares for you. He thought of you. He's made provisions for you. He has a vision for you. And when you can't see him, he is still there. And when you can't feel him, he is near to you. The Bible says that he is not far from each one of us. He will sustain you. He will fight for you. He will protect you. Even if you feel like he's let you down. I'm speaking to some of you today that need to know that God has not forgotten about you. He is not disappointed with you. You know, to be able to disappoint somebody is to fail to meet their expectations. You can't disappoint God because he knows everything about you. He knows the thoughts in your head and the contents of your heart. And so when you do something that doesn't match up with his word, he's not surprised. He's not disappointed. He's there for you to take you to a new level. He knows all about you. He sees, he hears, he cares about you, and he's speaking to you today because he's coming to you, because he loves you. He's coming to you. And so Jesus makes his way to Bethany. And by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus is dead. And not only is he dead, he's been dead and buried for 4 days. 4 days, Jesus shows up. Jesus didn't even make it to the funeral. Not only did he miss Lazarus while he was sick and on his deathbed, Jesus misses the funeral. He doesn't even show up for the reception at the end of the funeral. He missed it. He missed it completely. He didn't show up fashionably late. He didn't just kind of stroll in and kind of make a scene. You know, I'm Jesus. It's all good now that I'm here. He missed it completely. Lazarus was in a tomb and they rolled a stone in front of the tomb and he has been dead so long that he's starting to stink as his body rots away. He's starting to stink. There's a widely held Jewish tradition or thought at this period of time that when a person dies, the spirit of that person stays in the body for 3 days and then leaves. So Lazarus just wasn't dead. He was dead dead. Jesus showed up on the fourth day. Spirit's gone. Lazarus is dead dead. And how many of you in your lives have seen God let something die in your life? A marriage, God just let die. a family member who you've been praying for and you've been believing God that would heal them, and that person is just gone. And God let something die on his watch and you don't know what to do about it, and it is dead. And then there are some things that are just dead, dead. Like, there's a difference between being dead and being dead, dead, right? Some of you, your finances are dead. You're going to have to figure out how to pull out some of your stock options to pay for some unexpected bills, and your finances are a little dead, and it's scary, and you know that's difficult, and we'll pray for you. But some of you are not worrying about canceling your vacation to make ends meet because you lost the ends somewhere a long time ago, and it's dead, dead, and you need Jesus to show up. It is dead, dead. Lazarus is dead. Jesus missed it. He didn't show up. He promised that he wouldn't dead, and now he's dead. And so what do we do? Maybe you've had an ambition for your life, and God let it die. How many of you have faithfully come to Jesus? You've lifted your hands to the heavens in frustration and desperation, and you said, God, if you would show up in my life, Lord, please show up in my life. You received a promise through his word, only to see that promise snuffed out before your very eyes, and you're left wondering, where do I go from here, God? Where do I go from here? But Jesus is about to reveal a greater glory in the lives of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And you know, I think some of you need to hear this today. I believe that sometimes God doesn't show up when he needs us to, or when we want him to. Because if God always showed up when we wanted him to, we would trust in what he does and not who he is. And I don't want you to miss this. If you are in the middle of a situation where you have faithfully followed Jesus, you've heard his voice, you've responded in faith, you've taken that step, you have given more, you have prayed harder, and you've attended church more, you've taken all these steps, and you feel like God is absent from the narrative, he's taking a vacation, maybe he's in Italy with Pastor Wald, I don't know. Maybe you feel like that right now. I wanted to let you know that he is about to take you to a deeper level of faith and to reveal a greater display of his glory in your life. Let's read what happens in the rest of this story, starting in verse 18. Well, we'll start at 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary and confront them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Some of you are like Martha. You got a little bit of attitude up against God right now. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not be dead. Jesus, if you would have shown up, my marriage would be fine. If you would have shown up, God, I wouldn't have had to have gotten a second job. I wouldn't have lost my job if you would have shown up. And some of you have been faithful, and the very integrity that you're trying to display is the very thing that cost you your job or your marriage or your relationship. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. I believe there are two things that prevent us from going to a new level of faith in Jesus and seeing a greater glory revealed in our life and realizing our potential, understanding and knowing God's will. And the first one is that we kind of get to this point like Martha. And we get so frustrated and we get so angry at God and we say, God, if you would have shown up, if you would have been here for me, none of this would happen. and we walk away. Like a little kid on a playground, when your little things don't go your way, you're not my friend anymore. I'm not going to talk to you. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You've done that to Jesus. You've had that attitude with God. And I think that if we took the stance of Martha and we just stopped there, you're never going to take it to a new level with Christ. You're never going to know God greater. You're never going to see him work more in your life because you've turned your back on him. Do you notice Mary didn't even get out of the house? This is Martha. She kind of gets a bum rap. Martha was the one who was working in the kitchen and Mary was serving Jesus, right? And everybody's like, you got to be like Mary and not Martha and all that kind of jazz or whatever. Martha comes running out and gives Jesus a piece of her mind. Jesus, if you would have been here, hand on her hip, you know, one of these things. Tell you what, Jesus. Mary doesn't even show up. Some of you are Mary in this story. Word came that Jesus was on his way, and Martha's like, all right, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And Mary's like, you know what? Whatever. He didn't have time for me. I don't have time for him. How many of you here today are saying that to Jesus? You know what? He didn't have time for me, so I don't have time for him. You want to know where to go from here? We need to be a little bit more like Martha. Yeah, she came to Jesus with some attitude. She said, Jesus, if you would have been here, man, I wouldn't be hurting right now. My brother would be alive. Jesus said to her, oh no, let's back up a little bit. If you had been there, my brother would not have died. And here's what she says immediately following that phrase, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Even now, even after you promised he would live and he's dead, I still believe that God will give you, Jesus, whatever you ask of him. I believe that you are still good, God. I believe that you are still sovereign, God. You are in control, God. Even now, in the midst of my circumstances, when all hell is breaking loose in my life, I still believe that you are good and that you can resurrect the dead things in my life. You know, when my wife and I and our kids, we moved to Martinsburg to plant this church, I am not kidding when I say all hell broke loose in our life. I lost my job. In the same week that I lost my job, my wife was in a car accident and wrecked our truck. At that time, she thought she was pregnant, which was scary. That same week that when I lost my job and my wife was in a car accident, we got $6,000 worth of bills showed up at our door, all because of somebody else's mistake. And you don't think I was asking this question? I was like, God, you called us to cross the Potomac River. It's kind of like the River Jordan in my life. You called us to the promised land, God. You told us to move to Martinsburg, and so we did, and the bottom fell out of everything. Our marriage, our finances, our transportation, everything came crashing down, and I was like, God, where are you? You better believe I came to God like Martha. God, if you had been here, man, you know what? You promised me, Lord. But you know what? We're still faithful. We're still trekking on. You know, we've lived there for 2 years, and in my mind, my perspective of how this church was going to work, I'd be full-time right now. And we'd have a church of about 150 people. That was my perspective. But now we're faithfully meeting with a small group of people, and we have seen God do things in our lives that we would have never seen if we hadn't responded like Martha. God, if you would have been here and been on the job like you should have been, But you know what, God? You are still faithful. We're still going to show up. We're still going to worship you. Still, we're going to honor you. We're going to lift your word high. We're going to praise you. And we have seen God move in our lives. Do you know something? When I lost my job, we have not missed a single bill payment at all. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and preach Joel Osteen and like God, you know, is going to provide everything for you and all that kind of jazz. And he's going to, you know, open up a bucket of money and it's just going to fall on your head. You know how God has provided for us? Through the generosity of people in this church. Through the faith of people who believe that God is doing something great in my family's life and believe in the vision that we've set out for the church plant. God has provided for us. And so this sermon, this is what my family is living right now. To make matters more interesting, I'm going to talk about God's promises and all that kind of stuff. We moved to Martinsburg. I lose my job, all that stuff goes on, and then my wife gets pregnant, and we don't have insurance now because I lost my job. Now, that's a blessing. A child is a blessing, and that's straight from God. But sometimes you're like, God, the timing is like, whoa, did you not see all this coming down the road? Right? But God has provided. The very thing that caused me to question God, the loss of my job, is the very thing that afforded my family the opportunity to get full health care coverage. State benefits. I know some of y'all are like, ooh, welfare and all that kind of stuff. No, you know what? That's a blessing from God. For my family, that's a blessing because now we're going to have a beautiful baby boy and she's 39 weeks. And you know what? The state's picking up the tab for it. That's a blessing from God. The very thing that I was frustrated with God for is the very thing that's allowing us to have a baby. And not pay for it. But I think most of you in this room have turned your back on God because you feel like he's turned his back on you. And you know what? If you want to know, if you want to experience God's will a little bit deeper, you need to respond like Martha, God, I still believe. You need to listen to those repeaters. And finally, in closing, Jesus, in verse 38, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was the cave where the stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, here's Martha's hesitation, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God? Here's the other reason why I believe, you guys, why Christians, why we can experience a new level of faith in Jesus. You can come up, JB. Some of you are afraid to roll away the stone. Some of you have got things in your lives that stink. Sinful habits, thoughts, behaviors, attitudes. If they would have never rolled away the stone, Jesus probably would have never raised Lazarus from the dead. And God is coming to you today to resurrect you, to bring new life to your faith, to take you to a new level and to reveal a greater glory in your life than you have ever seen before. But if you're not willing to roll away the stone, if you're not willing to confess your sins before God and change the way that you live your life, God will never take you anywhere but where you are, right here. Some of you got to get the skeletons out of your closet. Jesus will take care of those skeletons. He will destroy them. But you have got to roll away the stone. See, God's will isn't this mystical, mysterious, magical, pie in the sky, like the, you know, heavens are open up and this light will shine down on you. There's his part, and then there's your part. And if you are content with taking all of your stinky, evil, sinful, bad attitudes, actions, behaviors, and keeping them stored away so that Jesus can't see them or take care of them, or so you think, then you're never gonna know God on a deeper level. You will not know his will for your life. You gotta roll away the stone. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Trust in me. You notice he didn't say that I am able to resurrect Lazarus. He said, I am the resurrection. You got to stop trusting in some of the things that you're trusting in. You just got to trust Jesus. And you got to push away that stone. You got to roll it out of the way so God can clean it up. And he can resurrect the dead things in your life. He can take away the things that don't need to be there and replace them with the things that should. You got to roll away the stone. You want to know where to go from here? The Bible says, confess your sins before one another. The Bible says, repent and believe in Jesus. You want to know God's will for your life, you respond to his voice, you learn to hear his voice, and then you repent. You roll away that stone and you give Jesus everything that you've been hiding. And God will take you to a deeper level of faith and reveal a greater level of his glory in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the moments where you pull through. God, we thank you for the moments where we see your glory in a way that we have never seen it before, God. And we pray right now that you would give us the strength to respond like Martha. And even when we have doubts, we can say that we believe that you are good. And for all of those people who are sitting under the sound of my voice today who have failed to roll away the stone to get rid of sinful behaviors and patterns in their life, I pray that today is the day that they hear from you, God, that they would be mournful of the sin in their lives, God, that they would be frustrated at the fact that they are so close to knowing you better, but not because of their inability or their fears related to being, to exposing the deep regrets or the hurts in their lives, God. And I pray that you would right now give them the fortitude and the strength and the courage to come to you in repentance. Father, we love you and we praise you that you are the resurrection, God, that you raise people to life and you give them divine potential, God. And it's in your name that we pray and we thank you. Amen.